We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Paul Douglas out at Target Field Plaza. Stop by, say hi if you get a chance this evening. If you're coming to the Twins-Yankees game. Yesterday, a very exciting game. 10-5. In favor of our Twins. And Joe Mauer's grand slam, that was the exclamation point. It's, you know, any win is a good win, right? A win's a win, but when you beat the Yankees, and I would add the Indians, there's something about beating the Yankees that feels extra, extra good. So again, the game this evening, and we're going to be talking about the Twins, especially at 5:30. Specifically, you know, what went wrong this season, what went right, investments in new players, trades. We talked to Dave St. Peter, who is president of the Twins, and we're going to talk about his thoughts this season and prospects for next year. Yeah, we're already, I mean, Twins fans are already kind of looking ahead and saying, all right, well, we're not making the playoffs this year, but could some of those investments pay off next year? So anyway, that's coming up at 5:35. In the meantime, Frank Vassalero joins us for our regular chat session here, what's coming up on the Channel 4 newscast. Hey, Frank, how you doing? Franco? All right. Well, thankfully, a lovely lady is walking up right now. Hi, what's your name, miss?
Hello, sir. Big fan, first-time visitor, long-time listener.
Really? You're the one.
What, did Frank bail on you?
Yeah, Frank bailed.
I just got here. Let me put my stuff down.
Crickets.
What a beautiful day we're having.
It's kind of hot, and you're dressed to the nines. Are you going to the club?
No, I had a meeting, a sales meeting earlier today. So, you know, I try to do it up, not be so slovenly when I have a sales meeting. So I just walked over here to Target Field. Beautiful, beautiful day. Lovely walk. Pretty busy downtown, you know, as we get into rush hour. So people
always get my steps in, trying to get from CCO Radio over to Target Field here in the appropriate amount of time.
Fantastic. So, what was Frank going to talk about? Do we even know?
I don't know. I think they're running all commercials. I don't think there's any news today. I think kind of slow out there.
Yeah, what a jerk. I'll have to yell at him.
He's a well-meaning, good-natured jerk.
Are you talking about me?
Yeah. Oh, there's Frank.
Wow.
Yeah,
not you. You're just a jerk.
Oh. No, I'm a well-meaning jerk.
Yeah, we missed you.
I stuck up for you, Frank. Let the record show.
Thank you. Welcome back, Jordana. Where are you guys today?
You know what?
Were you getting makeup on?
Yeah, it takes 8 hours.
Do they still use the spatula and the spackle and the... I'm not judging.
No, we've got it down. We use a jackhammer now.
Yeah. We're over at Target Field.
Oh, good for you guys.
Yes, once again, the Twins are going to kick some Yankee butt.
Yeah, Mauer had a great at-bat last night.
So
that's
exciting.
Pretty cool. That's pretty
happy
cool.
Happy for Joe, exciting. Happy for all of us. That was cool.
Yeah.
Frank, what's going on here? In a few minutes, we're talking to somebody right in the line of fire of Florence. Obviously, that's top of mind. Yeah, we don't live there, but we have friends and family that live in the southeast.
Well, you'll get all
what
the,
are you covering?
You know, we're talking about the storm, obviously, and I won't go over that again because you're so great at all that meteorology. But, you know, when it's cool to see the Minnesota response. I mean, we're a long way away, and people are already gearing up, some of them are already down there. And it's a really good Minnesota effort. So we're gonna cover that. But you know the size and mass of this thing is just absolutely frightening. So you know it'll be a huge story over the course of the next couple of days.
It reminds me of Hugo back in '89. I was still at CARE, and that thing was a Category 4. It slammed into South Carolina. I don't think this one is going to be quite as intense, but it's going to linger longer. It's just going to sit offshore and churn for the better part of a day or two, and it may strafe the coastline South Carolina and North Carolina and maybe even Georgia. I mean, I'm worried about Hilton Head. Have you ever been down to Hilton Head?
No, I heard it's a beautiful area.
I mean, if you're a golfer, it's there's nothing like it. I mean, maybe Palm Springs, but it's amazing. But it's so close to sea level. You don't have the dunes. You don't have any real barriers between the sea and these, you know, beautiful homes. So I don't know. I mean,
so a hurricane can come and decimate everything?
Well,
is that what you're telling us?
I'm saying it's going to be bad. And they're telling people you may not return for a month.
Oh, boy.
You may be away from your home for a month. It's so bad they're cutting off power and water to a lot of these barrier islands to try to force people to leave their homes. A lot of people still aren't going, and that's a problem.
How interesting. That's so sad. My goodness. Well, it'll be a big
deal.
What
else are you guys covering tonight, Frank?
So this is bad news there. It's estimated that more than 2 million middle and high schoolers are now trying e-cigarettes in Minnesota. And it's interesting because the FDA came out with a big report today. And just a couple days ago, Liz Collins did a story showing parents what they looked like to be modems and erasers and different things that are actually
jump drives
that are actually e-cigarettes, not a modem, jump drive. And here in Minnesota, we've seen the first increase in 20 years of kids using tobacco, and it's because of vaping and e-cigarettes. So now there's two things that happened. The FDA has come out, and they had a huge, massive sting, and they sent out 1,300 warning letters to retailers and say, if you do it again, we're going to shut you down. But the really bigger deal is that, you know, these things are flavored, and they package them and market them to kids. I mean, they're just trying to lure young people.
Yeah,
you know?
Candy. Right?
Right. It reminds me of the cigarette issue a few years ago, that now the FDA says if the industry doesn't take some real serious steps to mandate and change its own behavior, that the FDA may actually consider banning all flavored nicotine nationwide.
Because we're going to talk about this at 5:10. We're going to do a whole segment on this at 5:10, and we'll take some calls too. How are people using them? You know, are adults using them to get off smoking? Are kids really? Are they abusing it? And are the numbers going up for teen tobacco use?
Well, the kids' numbers are going up. There's in this state, there's no dispute. Nationwide, your person might know, but in Minnesota, the first time in 20 years, it's on the rise. You know, so you had all this effort to go ahead and get kids to stop smoking, and now you've got potential epidemic. So it's interesting that they're so far ahead of it this time now, going, you know what, regulate your own behavior. Stop marketing to kids, or we're going to shut you down.
Well, the perception is that vaping is a lot safer. I'm not sure that's the reality. But, again, we're talking to an expert at Alina Health at 5:10. Franco, thank you for joining us. Be safe and try to avoid Hilton Head and Charleston and Myrtle Beach until further notice, okay?
Will do. Enjoy the beautiful summer day in September out at Target Field. I'm happy for you guys.
I got my shirt off,
Happy New Year, Frank.
Glad it's radio, not TV.
Gosh.
Come on. Cut me a break. When we come back, talk to a friend of mine, Brian Chadwick. He's town manager at North Topsail Beach, right on the beach in North Carolina, kind of ground zero for Florence. What are they doing? How are they going to ride out the storm on the beach? That's next in Weather Therapy on CCO. There is. I'm amazed when there isn't. Hey, it's time for Weather Therapy, and of course, the big story is and will be Florence for the next few days. The National Weather Service says it could be, quote, the storm of a lifetime, Jordana. It's been 22 years since a major hurricane, that would be Category 3 or stronger, struck north of Florida.
Because Superstorm Sandy wasn't a category.
It technically wasn't even
a hurricane. It was just a superstorm.
It was vast. Mm-hmm. It had sustained winds of about 70 to 72. Technically, it was a cold core system. Technically, it wasn't even a hurricane. It was just a monster storm hitting at high tide during a full moon. It was just a convergence.
So, I mean, the werewolves made it really much more challenging.
There are no werewolves in Weather Therapy, right now. You're watching too much late-night TV.
Sharknado? No?
With me to change the subject and find out what's really going on.
Sorry, Brian.
Brian Chadwick, a friend of mine, a buddy, and
There werewolves?
There are no werewolves. Are there in North Topsail Beach?
No, we have We do have a few sharks, but, you know, no werewolves.
Well, that's good. That's good to know. So now you're town manager, and you're not right on the beach, but you're what, on the western side, the inland side of the intercoastal waterway?
Actually, no. Our town hall, we actually are one of the barrier islands, and we
you are on a barrier island.
Wow. Okay.
Oh yeah.
And actually, we have been evacuating town hall today. I sent all my non-essential personnel home yesterday. And the police department, fire department, we've been basically taking all of our essential files, loading them up in big U-Hauls, and basically for continuity of government, pretty much. You know, it's part of our hurricane plan.
Brian, are people, by and large, heeding the mandatory evacuation orders? Do you still have some people that refuse to budge?
I spoke to one lady who felt that she would be okay because she was considering it from Hurricane Matthew a couple of years ago. And I tried to tell her, look, this is a totally different hurricane. And actually, each one has its own mind of its own.
Right.
But when you're talking 95 miles an hour winds compared to 130, 140 miles an hour winds are totally different. And I told her, I said, I am sending all of my family as far in as possible, far inland as possible, because it is life and death. Most of them are, like I say, she's the only one, and I think she took the hint that I was trying to give her, because we cannot make anyone leave their property.
You can't drag people out of their homes, right?
That's correct.
Brian, what happens to you? You said your non-essential personnel have gone home. You've sent your family as far away as possible. What's your plan to stay safe?
We actually have set up our own town EOC in a little community of Sneed Ferry, which is across the high-rise bridge across the Intercoastal Waterway.
What's an EOC?
A new middle school building that the county, we have a MOA with them to utilize that place as our emergency operations center. And we have a couple of phones set up. And that's where our fire and police and the essential personnel will be setting up.
Now, Brian, you could very easily be cut off for a period of time. I mean, what are people telling you in terms of, do you have enough fresh water? Do you have food in case the barrier island is cut off for a week or two? I don't know how long it's going to take for any semblance of normalcy to return.
Well, what we do, we actually have stockpiled a lot of water for all of our personnel, because essentially once the winds get over 45 miles an hour, and that's the difference. There's a high-rise bridge that goes from the barrier island onto where our EOC will be stationed, which is on the mainland. Once that reaches 45 miles an hour, we will not be able to go across, because and that's what we try to tell everyone. But we have we have food stockpiled, and we are prepared for the long haul. We're preparing for the worst and hoping for the best.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's all you can do. And
right.
I forwarded you the latest briefing from Predictix. It's just offshore, weakening slightly, and then drifting down towards Charleston, Hilton Head, Myrtle Beach. But you're still going to have a period of maybe 24, 36 hours of hurricane force winds, maybe a storm surge of 5 to 10 feet. Are you guys as prepared as you can be under the terrible circumstances?
We are. Again, our EOC is higher than that, what we're prepared. I mean, it's in a high piece of property that is, again, in Sneed Ferry. But that's why we're worried about other people. But we are prepared for that.
Well, and Melissa's safe. She drove up, what, to Raleigh?
She drove to Virginia to her parents.
Okay.
And I've tried my parents, you know, this is the way it is down here. People say, how can you stay, you know, and all this kind of stuff. But like my parents, I have been trying to talk them into going to Raleigh, and I'm hoping that they are on their way right now, which that's a hard thing to do when you're essential personnel, when you're police and fire, you know,
right.
Your job is here, and your family, you've got to send them other places, and it may be weeks before you can see them, you know, and that's that's the reason we try to heed the warnings, and we try to, because I will not send out my personnel when it gets to the part, to the point that it is unsafe for them.
And that's what you need to tell people who decide to ride out the storm. Look, you have the freedom to stay put in your home, but if you call 911, nobody's going to come out to rescue you, right?
That is exactly right. I mean, it is, and it's hard to say stuff like that, especially if you're in emergency services. But it comes
right
to that point where when you're not able to do that. And that's why we have tried to tell everyone it's imperative that they heed the warning and leaving.
Brian, are you born and raised in North Carolina?
Actually, I'm in Onslow County, but I was born in Carteret County, which is right north of Onslow County. And I have been through a number of storms like this in my 45 years.
Wow.
But this one
just
is
want
one
every-
that they talk about. They're comparing it to Hazel, which Hazel came through within 3 hours. But, Paul, what you were saying, here for 24 to 48 hours of hurricane force winds, and you're looking at probably almost 2 feet of rain is what they're predicting, and that on a barrier island is not a good thing.
Well, hey, buddy, we're going to keep you and everybody down there on the beach and even inland. I mean, hundreds of miles inland with flooding days after this thing comes ashore. It's going to be an ongoing threat, but stay safe as best you can. And you, emergency response, fire, police, the unsung heroes, just be safe. And hopefully we can get back to you every now and then and see how you're doing. You can give us an update, but hang in there, okay?
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. Thank you. And I'd love to be at Target Field right now, just to let you know.
Well, we do feel a little guilty sitting out here in the sunshine talking about this raging beast offshore. But, hey, we're rooting for you, and we'll check back, okay?
Hey, thanks. We'll talk soon.
You bet. That was Brian Chadwick down at North Topsail Beach, right on the beach in North Carolina, bracing for impact. Florence coming ashore late tomorrow night. We will be back and go way beyond the headlines next on CCO.
Oh, boy, we're getting blown away here at Target Field.
I predicted that.
Not complaining. It's been fantastic.
Breeze feels good.
So today, President Trump signed an executive order to impose sanctions on individuals and entities that meddle in U.S. elections. The order applies to anyone, individuals, Paul Douglas, Craig Schrepfer, Susan Blanche, anybody who directs or sponsors such meddling. So it could be an individual, it could be an entity, it could be a government member. The order does not mention the Russians directly, but they said it's a broad effort aimed at curtailing all types of interference. And under the order, the government would publish intelligence community findings of foreign interference with the penalty of blocking asset provision of the culprits, as well as the threat of more penalties. Well, the Intelligence Committee, Senate Intelligence Committee Vice Chairman Mark Warner said the president's move is insufficient. Mark Rubio said today's announcement by the administration recognizes a threat, but doesn't go far enough to address it. He says we should do more mandatory sanctions. These are just suggested sanctions. Mandatory sanctions should be in place. So that's today.
Wow. All right.
All right. There's that. Good swish.
Yeah, I'm trying. Speaking of threats, the United States is warning Russia and the Syrians against more airstrikes in Syria. UN Ambassador Nikki Haley warned that there would be, quote, dire consequences if they continue airstrikes in this one province of Syria. It's the last rebel-held area in Syria, Idlib province. She promised the U.S. would respond to any use of chemical weapons, though Defense Secretary James Mattis declined to say whether the U.S. would take military action. Syrian regime forces, backed up by the Russians, are trying to retake this Idlib province and essentially end the rebellion after more than 7 years of civil war in Syria.
About time. You heard a little bit about this in the news, but this one's near and dear to my heart because now Attorney General Lori Swanson is convening a sex assault investigation work group. And these steps, these motions that we're taking here in Minnesota are in direct response to the Star Tribune's articles about how rape and sexual assault are not properly investigated and charged in Minnesota. So today, Lori Swanson announced the launch of a sexual assault investigation work group made up of statewide leaders, you know, former Minneapolis City Council head Chair Barb Johnson. Dr. Mark Hudson is a medical director at Children's Resource. Lisa Loverling is a chief deputy at Isani County Sheriff's. So just a bunch of really smart people who are invested in investigating sexual assault are now going to be on a task force. They're going to start meeting next week and make recommendations to the legislature for improvements in state law and policies before the start of the next session. I mean, this really is an incredible response. You know, the Star Tribune did amazing reporting with their series Denied
Justice. And so did you with the podcast on CCO Radio.
Happy to be along.
I got to wave the flag.
Thank
no, you humanized the story and made it real. With a podcast, I'm just happy something good
is being done. This
is
amazing. You know,
all these horrific stories we heard.
I'm just so proud of all those reporters. Great job, guys.
Do you know anybody with really, really bushy eyebrows? Kind of a personal question.
Yeah.
I don't have bushy.
They have
eyebrows,
to trim them. No, yours are good, but they have to take like a like a trimmer, like a razor trimmer kind of thing.
But they may not want to because there's a good chance they may be narcissists.
Oh, why? Bushy eyebrows
if
are
you
like...
want to spot a narcissist,
really?
Look at the eyebrows.
Did not know that.
New research has provided an excellent clue for identifying the narcissists lurking among us.
Come on.
Bushier eyebrows are associated with higher levels of narcissism. Grandiose narcissists, that's what they examined. The kind of people that crave attention, extroverted, have very high opinions of themselves. We all know people like that. They fail to recognize their inner emptiness or their problems. According to the study's results, Jor, this type of narcissist has far more distinctive eyebrows than non-narcissists.
Come on.
Why that would be, I have no idea. But because these grandiose narcissists strongly desire recognition and admiration, they may seek to maintain distinct eyebrows.
Oh, come on.
To facilitate others' abilities to notice, recognize, and remember them, hereby increasing their likability and reinforcing their overly positive self-view. So I'm going to be checking out people's eyebrows now.
Can't they just maybe have lost their tweezer or be bad at personal grooming?
I don't know. Is it something genetic?
I don't know. That's interesting. Or they want you to notice their eyebrows.
Bizarre.
So there you go. President Trump doesn't drink alcohol, but now there is a question on whether or not he is fit to run a bar, even though he is running our country. A Washington, D.C. liquor board has to question whether or not President Trump, as the owner of Trump International Hotels, which has a bar, is of good character. Okay, that's a thing. You're granted a liquor license if you are of good character.
Really? Who judges that?
Well, they're the D.C. liquor board. It's a test required of anyone who wants to sell beer, wine, or spirits in Washington, D.C. So the liquor board has to consider the question after a group of city residents complained that the owner of Trump International Hotel fails the, quote, good character test of anyone who wants to sell alcohol in the city. In a grievance to the city's Alcohol Beverage Control Board, the group presented a litany of what they say are Trump's moral failures, calling him a liar, a fraudster, a racist, somebody who associates with criminals. The hotel is just blocks from the White House. It opened in 2016. It's a hangout for administration aides and Trump loyalists. The president does not drink himself, but he's been at fundraisers there. And the campaign has spent thousands of dollars on events, foreign governments, the whole thing. Yanking a hotel's liquor license would put a serious dent in the business. So it's up for consideration.
Wow. Hey, I'm going to try to squeeze this in.
Yeah.
What's your rating on Uber? Do you have any
idea?
Oh,
I'd have to go check. I'd have to go check my Uber rating. What's yours? You only have one
4.71.
star.
Uber is blocking low-rated riders in Australia and New Zealand.
Oh,
if you have a 4 out of 5 or lower, you will be banned for 6 months. And again, Uber, of course, you rate the driver rates you. I just wonder if that's coming to the United States. That'll be interesting. Or not.
Plus. I love it.
I have the iPhone 14.
Yeah,
it's,
I know you
it's
do.
It's unbelievable.
You're a fancy tech
Slices
guy.
Slices and dices.
Apple had their big announcement today, big conference going on. The editor-in-chief of Techlicious, Suzanne Cantra, frequent guest of the show, has been monitoring and has the latest. Hey, Suzanne.
Hey, how are you?
Well, give us the goods. What's the new tech out there?
So I think the big news from most people's perspectives, well, two things. One is that the face recognition is really the way that Apple's going. It's on both the 10S, both models, and the 10R. And then the other big news is that the screen's gotten even bigger. So there is a 10S Max, which is 6.5 inches, which is just a massive phone.
Wow.
So those are probably the biggest things that people will be interested in. So last year when people were looking to buy a phone, the prices were $999 and $1099 for the highest end models. Now you're going to be able to get a phone for $750, get the face recognition,
really?
Get that beautiful styling, get the, you know, all those more advanced features in that 10XR and the 10R and a whole range of colors too. So I think it's going to be really popular.
Are there any other new features that really stood out? I mean, anything can, is the camera better? I mean, what other improvements have they made?
So other improvements are going to be enhancements to the camera, not more megapixels, but they have something called Smart HDR. So it's going to take better photos in low light, which we all struggle with. They also have something where you can adjust the depth of field after you've taken a photograph. So if you're taking something in portrait mode and you don't want that busy background behind somebody, you can just remove, you can blur that out, which
nice.
People are going to like a lot. For the XS models, you're going to move up to a more waterproof rating. So now you really can take it swimming and not have to worry about it.
Suzanne Cantrell will be watching all of your posts on Techlicious. She is the editor-in-chief. Thanks for the update.
Thanks, Suzanne.
Thank you.
I want to let you know the WCCO brings you next in our conversation series on Thursday, September 20th from 9 to 6 in the Cambria Gallery. We're going to be talking about healthcare, and we're going to be talking about it all day long. All right, each hour we'll bring you experts on a different topic, Obamacare, pros and cons, providers, insurance controlling costs, the whole shebang. Join the conversation September 20th, 9 to 6 in the Cambria Gallery here on CCO.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.